Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
A European Google?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Europe's biggest telecom companies are planning a mobile phone search engine to rival U.S. giants Google and Yahoo. The companies are hoping to grab a large slice of the market for online advertising. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The group has a total of 600 million cell phone users. Among the companies involved, Vodafone, France Telecom and Deutsche Telekom. According to press reports, they want to launch their own mobile search engine. They'll meet at a big trade fair in Spain next week to hammer out the details. This, says Tom Standage of The Economist magazine, is the latest stage in a long quest. For years, the cell phone operators have been looking for a way of selling data to their customers.
They're saying, well, obviously, advertising is the way to do it, but look, Google's there first, so we need to build a Google-like way of selling advertising onto the screens of mobile phones, and that's how we'll finally make money out of this.
But he points out the last attempt to gang up against Google failed when the French and the German governments also tried to launch a European search engine and swiftly abandoned the effort. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Walmart is entering the online movie download market. The company is launching a beta version of its online movie store. It has deals with most of the major movie studios and some TV networks. ABC, CBS, and NBC aren't signed yet, but Walmart hopes to add them soon. Prices? Anywhere from $12.88 to $19.88 for a film, $1.96 for a TV episode. Yep, that's 4 cents cheaper than iTunes. You know, 4 cents a day for a year, which was like $15. Walmart will have a lot more movies than iTunes. The retailer gained the sympathy of movie studios because it's willing to sell movies at different prices. Speaking of different prices, the market had a bit of a split personality yesterday. The Dow moved forward 8 points to 12,661, but the Nasdaq stumbled, giving up 5 points. It's at 2470. The S&P was basically flat, down a point to 1446. But in Tokyo today, the Nikkei climbed 62 points, or 0.3%. Some analysts are calling it a do-or-die move for Eastman Kodak. The company will unveil a trio of consumer inkjet printers and a marketing strategy designed to hit market leader Hewlett-Packard where it hurts, in the profit margin. The new printers will use ink cartridges that cost roughly half as much as the competition's. Kodak has been struggling for years because the popularity of digital cameras has hurt the demand for film and photographic paper. We've all had an important meeting we weren't exactly looking forward to, so you can understand how Steven Johnson might be feeling this morning. He's a head of the Environmental Protection Agency, and he has a date today with the new Democratic majority in Congress. Johnson isn't likely to get a warm welcome. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Steven Johnson will appear before Congress for the first time since landing the top spot at the EPA in 2005. Today's Senate hearing will scrutinize agency decisions like changing how national air pollution standards are set and giving political appointees more say in determining EPA policies. Frank O'Donnell heads the advocacy group Clean Air Watch. He says it's about time the EPA had to answer for its actions.
For the past several years, Congress essentially has been a shield, allowing the Bush administration to do whatever it wanted without much in the way of oversight.
At least three congressional committees are planning tough oversight of the EPA's decisions. All are chaired by newly empowered Democratic critics of White House environmental policy. The EPA's head defends his record. Johnson says America's air, water, and land are cleaner today than they were a generation ago. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
By now, we've learned that when the temperature drops, the price of oil rises. That's what's happening now as very cold temperatures create frigid conditions in the East and Midwest. This morning, the price of oil is back above $59 a barrel. U.S. crude is at $59.43.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
At New York's Fashion Week, industry leaders met to discuss whether models can be too thin. It's become a growing global controversy, especially since several runway figures died from extreme dieting. Now New York City politicians are calling for minimum body weight rules like those approved in Milan and Madrid. But American designers are rejecting regulations as stifling their art. However, commentator Jessica Siegel says it isn't art that's being stifled.
In America's fashion capital, New York City, chic stores display only tiny styles on the shop floor. So the average woman, say a 12, like me, has to lower herself and ask for her size, if it's even available. So why do fancy boutiques act like it's criminal to stock larger sizes? Because in haute couture, snobism trumps profits. And that's one reason high-end leather goods sell 10% better than clothing. You don't have to go on a diet to buy a pocketbook. Now the Italians are fighting razor chic and passed weight minimums to protect runway models. They're even urging designers to make clothing in larger styles. That's because they like profits and they like eating. This week in New York, American designers patted themselves on the back for promising to promote better model health with education campaigns. But they still oppose minimum body weights and doctor's exams as, quote, policing. Policing. This from the original Fashion Police. Why are they defending their skeletons? Not even in the closet, the ones on the runways. Because the image is so impossible. The slimmer the look, the more elite. Because most women can't fit. And that's the whole point. It's just like in Victorian times when corsets caused fainting and miscarriage and heavy petticoats tripped women up, dragged dirt in the house, and pulled women down like a stone in boating accidents. It was truly deadly. Even back then, medical doctors objected, just like they do today. But the upper classes called ladies without corsets and petticoats loose. You know, loose women. Today, we think that's backward, but our fashion leaders are just as blind. They are the new Victorians. But in starving the models, they're also starving their profits. Razor chic is truly wearing thin.
Jessica Siegel teaches journalism at New York University. You know, if you're on the go, you can take us with you. That's because we're podcasting. You can find out more by visiting our website, itsmarketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.